El Paso and Juarez represent a tale of two cities, linked economically and through social and family ties, but as different as night and day when it comes to crime. Mexican President Felipe Calderón sent federal police and army units to Juarez to fight the powerful drug gangs over a year ago, but the violence continues as rival gangs compete for the lucrative drug trade. University of Texas at El Paso professor Howard Campbell says more effective law enforcement on the U.S. side of the border has kept most of the violence out of El Paso for now.
Juarez last year had approximately 1,600 drug-related murders, and El Paso, I believe, in the whole city had something like 16.
Many wealthy citizens of Juarez have purchased property across the border in El Paso to protect their families, helping El Paso avoid the real estate slump affecting most of the United States.
We've heard stories recently that some of the most prominent families of Juarez essentially now are living in El Paso and trying to manage their business interests from El Paso and very seldom even going to Juarez.
Still, thousands cross the bridges over the border each day, and the commerce that links the two cities continues. This woman, speaking in Spanish, tells VOA life goes on in spite of the fear. She says life is difficult now in Juarez because of the violence, but people have to carry on even if they are afraid. U.S. and Mexican authorities recently established a caravan to escort assembly plant managers and business owners from the U.S. side of the border to their facilities in Juarez and back across the border each day. Political science professor Tony Payan teaches at the universities in both El Paso and Juarez and has family members living on the Mexican side.
They go out during the day to shop, to do the business that they have to do, to go to work. But at sundown, when the night falls, the task is to get everybody home and to lock themselves in the house and not come out, no matter what happens, until the next day.
Payan thinks one way of curbing the violence that's worked in other border cities is to promote a truce between the warring drug cartels.
It's not the kind of peace that you want, but it is peace nonetheless. That is, there are no more shootings and no more bodies in the streets.
Of course, that would undermine President Calderón's war to stop drug smuggling, something Howard Campbell says does not appear to be working in any case.
I think a lot of people, both in Mexico and the U.S., feel it's time for a rethinking of the drug war policy.
The U.S. government remains committed to helping Mexico and is providing training and some material assistance to Mexican authorities. But security analyst Fred Burton at the Austin, Texas-based Stratfor Company thinks more needs to be done.
With a country at war right next to ours, I think there should be a lot of attention given to this problem. You need a plan like we implemented many, many years ago in Colombia, taking on Pablo Escobar and trying to take down the narco terrorists in that country.
But Howard Campbell disagrees, saying direct U.S. involvement could be disastrous.
I think what we need to do is think about it a lot more and think about what are our goals in this thing and how can we achieve those goals and not just assume that somehow throwing money at the problem or soldiers or advisors or military tactics that will win.
Campbell is among those who believe violent drug trafficking will not end until something effective is done to curtail demand in the United States and drastically reduce the profits over which the drug gangs are fighting. Greg Flakus, VOA News, El Paso, Texas.